Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you on Oilers Now. I looked a little bit into the 5v5 numbers for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl during the season. We'll get to David Staples momentarily, Cult of Hockey. So McDavid and Draisaitl have 5-on-5 this year, according to Natural Stat Trick, have played 462 minutes together. They're +7 in goal differential. Their expected goals for is at 58%. So 462 minutes together. McDavid's played another 747 minutes away from Draisaitl, so roughly 1,100 minutes, and he's played 462. So what's that, about 40% off the top of my head? And then Draisaitl's played about 700 minutes away from McDavid. So somewhere between 38 to 42% of the time, 5v5 together. So they've been split up a lot. And the end result, it's pretty good. They're having pretty good years. The power play, it's pretty good as well. A lot to get to with our next guest. He is our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-K-H-A-U-K. That's Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. From the Cult of Hockey, David Staples. Hello, David. How you doing?
Fantastic, Bob. How are you?
Good. 30,000 feet view to begin with. Are you enjoying the excitement? I mean, we're watching. It's crazy what we're watching on a nightly basis. Like, the Oilers can flat out score highly entertaining hockey. And does it lessen the concern a bit on the defensive numbers, knowing that this team can score the way they can?
We're seeing McDavid and Draisaitl, I think, at the absolute height of their powers as hockey players. They still have everything going on offensively. Players tend to slow down a little bit when they hit their 30s, even maybe late 20s, some of them, offensively. But these guys are at their absolute peak on the attack. And in the last little while, at even strength, they've both been really, really strong. Draisaitl is playing the best two-way hockey of his career. And yeah, having these two players leading their own lines, which is what you're going to need to win in the playoffs, both players healthy, leading their own lines, makes up for the fact that they're kind of, mainly iffy, I think, a little bit in net, not so much on defense. I'm not that worried about the defensive group now that they have Ekholm and Dejarnay. They seem to have covered off a lot of problems, but they still are a little bit iffy in net. But I don't think you need to have the best goaltending on. You have to have at least league average goaltending to win in the playoffs, maybe a bit above that. And if they get that, I think they'll go far.
There's no question it's an exciting time right now. You've written a bit about Darnell Nurse lately. I think he's got points in his last six games or something like that. We had a texter say, look, Ken Holland made a trade with Matthias Ekholm. He got three new defensemen because Bouchard's different and Nurse has been way better since Ekholm's got here too. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, we all see the load is off Nurse a little bit. There's some games where Ekholm will play more time at even strength than Nurse will, and there's other games where Nurse will play more. So they can trade off and do the heavy lifting, both playing against tough competition. I mean, that was really all on Darnell Nurse, especially under Jay Woodcroft. He really went heavily using Darnell Nurse at even strength against the best players, and that's... You're just going to look bad now and then when that happens. You're out there against Nathan MacKinnon and Braden Point and Alex Ovechkin and all these great players. So, you know, Nurse has his detractors, mainly due to his large contract. But, Bob, this guy, he is having one of his best seasons offensively. I looked it up last night. He's 15th overall in even strength point scoring rate, just ahead of Roman Josi. So he's doing okay on the attack. Defensively, you know, he has always been a high event player. He's dynamic on the attack, dynamic on defense. Do I wish now and then that he would rein it in a little bit and just concentrate on being a shutdown defenseman? Yes, now and then I have that thought. Nonetheless, what a dynamic, fantastic hockey player. And, you know, the contract that upsets so many people, I think he's earning that contract this year. And the contract is also a springboard to the future, in that without Nurse signing long-term, I think the chances of Draisaitl or McDavid signing long-term would have been significantly decreased. So we'll see how that turns out.
How has Matthias Ekholm changed the complexion of the defense?
Well, Bob, you see him. He can do everything. He passes the puck well. He's really big. He can play physical hockey. He's solid defensively. He's fundamentally sound defensively. And he's one of those defensemen who he's just so rarely out of position. So Cody Ceci has a lot of the same qualities. He's just not as big and as skilled as Ekholm is. They're both players who you rarely see either of those guys out of position. They make the right decision again and again and again, both defensively and offensively. And Duncan Keith was the same, although he struggled a bit, you know, a little bit more on defense because he wasn't quite as big as a player like Ekholm and could get beat out of the corner in his last year. But he provided that steadiness, kind of that platform for Evan Bouchard to take off, and Ekholm's doing the same thing. You know, that said, I don't want to take anything. Like, you know, I've made that point before. I don't want to take anything away from Evan Bouchard as a player. That guy is just a fantastic passer of the puck. And I know he'll always drive fans crazy because he's so calm out there and he can look lackadaisical at times on defense. And he will make mistakes on defense. But he is a brilliant passer of the puck. And in the last few games, he's really looked super confident on the power play. He's hitting players right on the tape in stride with his passes. And he was struggling a little bit with that earlier on. And he's starting to get it down. And that shot from the point, in the playoffs, Bob, it's going to be hard to make cross-seam passes on the power play when everybody bears down on the penalty kill. It will be more difficult for the Oilers to make that kind of brilliant pass. They're going to need someone who can really score from the point, and Bouchard's starting to get that puck through on the point and nail some goals.
Let's not forget, he scored a couple big ones last year against Calgary at critical times when the Oilers needed to rally. And I specifically think of Game 5 where we had that window where there were about four goals in a span of about 4 minutes. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey joining us right now. So you talked a bit about the importance of Darnell Nurse. Evander Kane coming off of a significant injury. There's a photo after last night's game. McDavid, Draisaitl. By the way, you know what? Before we get to Kane, Draisaitl, I know you do the scoring chances thing for and against. Draisaitl's really elevated here over the last 15 games, hasn't he?
It's been exactly what... If you're thinking and hoping the Oilers can win the Stanley Cup, this is exactly what needed to happen. So long as Draisaitl was playing on the wing and on McDavid's line, you're a good team and you have a chance. But to win the Stanley Cup, you need these guys driving their own lines. You need Draisaitl driving his line. He has been fantastic in the last month. He's playing the best hockey of his career, Bob, at even strength. I think he's even better in the last month than he was in the 2017 playoffs when we first saw the player he could be as a center leading his own line. He's crushing other teams. He crushed Vegas last night. They could not stop Leon Draisaitl. And you get these guys doing this. You know, there's only so many good defensemen on the other teams. There's not, you know, they're not all loaded up on their defense on each top defense pairing. There's only so many players who can handle McDavid or Draisaitl. You split them up, and they're gonna do some major damage in the playoffs. And it's why I've been saying since I saw this from Draisaitl and saw Ekholm, I've been saying the Oilers are gonna win the Stanley Cup this year, and this is what I believe.
Wow, roughly 38 to 39% of the time, 5-on-5, McDavid and Draisaitl is here 5-on-5 minutes playing together. So that means over 60% of the time they are separated. Evander Kane. I liked his game last night. He was going. He was putting pucks in the net. I think he had 11 shots on goal. And tough situation for him. Two pretty significant injuries. I mean, one that you would have to think would have been incredibly difficult to overcome. This guy is. I won't say he's a wild card because I expect him to elevate here. I know there were some times where, you know, people, look at the plus minus. And, hey, it is a stat. But the reality is Kane does have another gear, and he's rounding in a form, and he's an important player for Edmonton, isn't he?
Well, he's crucial. I mean, because we all recall what we were saying last year when Kane took off. I mean, he brought the swagger to the team. He brought a kind of fearlessness to the team, because that's how he carries himself. He's a kind of strikes me as a fearless individual who just goes into any situation and thinks he's going to win. And so he's had a really rough spell, Bob, since he came back from two very painful, difficult injuries, the slicing of his wrist and then the broken ribs. And he hasn't played well in most games since he came back. And it all came to a head the other night on the weekend against Vegas when he made he was out there too long, fatigue took over, and he made a really terrible decision on the winning goal in overtime. You know, he abandoned the guy in front of the net, and then instead of skating right to him to take him out, he went behind the net. It was just like he just looked like someone who wasn't thinking straight because he was absolutely exhausted. And suddenly, all of the discontent people have been thinking about, you know, that he's not playing that well and he's not playing well in defense, it came out, and there was lots of criticism. I even heard people saying, you know, this is a bad contract Holland signed. And I'm thinking, hold on a second here. How about a little patience for a guy who's just coming back from two major injuries? And, you know, let's give him a break. And, you know, last night, again, he in the three-goal game, he got the hat trick the other night. And then last night, again, he brought his A game. Such a relief to see that, because, again, this is someone the Oilers do need this year in the playoffs to win. And the fact that he's now had two games, at least, where he's brought that A game, and then last night especially, he looked like he was back in form. That's really good news for the Edmonton Oilers, because Kane is so vital. You know, he's just such a fierce and intimidating hockey player that he makes up for, you know, the Oilers. There's not much talk that the Oilers lack toughness when Evander Kane's in the lineup. He makes a huge difference in that regard.
No question, because he's functional and he plays in the top six. Or David Staples, cult of hockey. David, speaking of cult, cult of personality, perhaps, for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins at Edmonton. I mean, he is an immensely popular player. What a season he is having.
Yeah, and I was talking to Bruce McCurdy last night, and we're trying to put our finger on, like, what is the difference with him this year? And I just think that it's he has decided, Bob, and I don't know what's going on in his head, but it just seems like he has decided. He's like, okay, I'm 29, 30. I am not going to let these young guys beat me in puck battles anymore. I'm going to kick their butt. And he wins a much higher percentage of 50-50 puck battles than he's ever won before. He goes into those battles with ill intent. He's fierce and he's nasty now and then. And that's something we never saw before from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. At least, let's put it this way, we saw it in a few playoff games and we saw it now and then. Now we see this consistently, this determination to win the puck, win battles. And it's just taken his game to a new level. There just seems that added aggression in battling seems to be an added aggression in attacking too. His passes, I mean, he just attacks fiercely now. His passes are just lasers right on the tape. And couldn't be better for the, I don't know if he's not the longest serving Oiler yet, is he? But he's approaching that. And it couldn't be better, because people just love the decision that he made to sign long-term in Edmonton. He looks like he might be the first Edmonton Oiler player who's a star to play out his entire career here. That means a lot to the people in Edmonton, where we've lost so many great players leaving town in mid-career. So, yeah, he's a hero here.
Hey, David, we've gone a month without talking about politics or the pandemic. Let's keep it going, okay?
Let's do that, Bob. Never again.
All right, there you go. That's David Staples, cult of hockey. Tell you right now, Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. They're still making it great at Royal Pizza. They got the new Canadian Club Pizza with ham, chicken, bacon, ranch, and fresh tomatoes. You can visit royalpizza.ca, one of their 15 locations in Edmonton, to serve you. Royal Pizza, Edmonton owned and operated. We'll wrap up the show with this day in Oilers history for New West Travel when we return. So we were talking about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. It's 1:53 at Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Okay, yes, Nugent-Hopkins is having an amazing career year, but let's keep it down a bit. He's not playing center anymore. He's not taking faceoffs, and he benefits from playing on one of the most historic, best power play units of all time. Now, granted, he's part of that greatest power play of all time, but I think the biggest key is him not playing center anymore. He's basically a winger.
So?
Good for you, Brendan.
What does that take away from anything? Kucherov's a winger. Does that discount any of his accomplishments?
Yeah, he's not that far behind Kucherov in points this year. That's what's crazy. Yeah, he's having a good go. There's no, I mean, wow. They're going to have 300-point scores. They might have, well, they're probably going to have one guy at 150. What's Leon up to? 114? I think he's at one guy at 120 and one guy at 100. Not bad. It's exciting to watch. So, that's funny. All right. We are going to go to This Day in Oilers History. It's for New West Travel. You can fly private charter on a five-day golf getaway to Pinehurst, North Carolina in October. Details at newwesttravel.com. Brendan Escott, what do you got?
1983, Finnish sensation Jari Kurri became the fourth Oilers player ever to eclipse 100 points in a season. Picked up an assist in a 7-4 win against the Canucks in Vancouver. Actually, Kurri finished that game with two goals and two assists.
This text comes in from the Fizzler, and he said, hey, Bob, David Staples' latest article in the Journal about the police officers was our police officer's wife was awesome. Too bad city council doesn't feel the same way. Yeah, I read the piece. It's a tough read. I think if you listen to the show, and you certainly know which way the Oilers organization feels on issues involving policing. Anyhow. Hearts go out to them. We got a game tomorrow, so we'll have a full preview coming up. Mark Spector, who is in the air today, that's why we flipped Speck and Louie. Mark Spector, Sportsnet Speck for Aquarian Renovations, will join us at 12:35. John Shannon from Legacy Heating and Cooling, our NHL insider, will join us at 1:35. We'll have a King's Angle at 1:05 and a full preview of tomorrow's game. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight, 6 to 8. What's he got shaking?
You'll hear from Kelly Rudy, as well as Kings play-by-play man Daryl Evans, and Canadian horse racing Hall of Famer Curtis Stock. I believe, does he have a new book out? Sounds like it.
He's an interesting guy, Curtis Stock. I'm going to date myself, but I remember having a beverage or two with Curtis down at Moe's Sports Parlor way back in the mid to late 1990s. Up next, the Global News weather traffic update with Evan Cook, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3. Then it's Chelsea on Chat with Chelsea Bird from 3 to 6. I'll be back at you noon with a preview tomorrow, the Oilers and the Kings. Thank you for listening and participating in the interactive elements to Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.